Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Is a wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. I'm excited about today's guest, who is none other than Sean Sommerkamp. Sean Sommerkamp is the founder of Motivationeer Christian Coaching. And Motivationeer Christian Coaching began from the personal motivation of Sean to bring the virtues of Christ's teachings into corporate America. The dream began after giving his life to Christ in 1991 while serving in the U.S. Navy submarine service. 20 years later, with a career spanning three of the largest Fortune 500 companies in the world and one software startup, Sean put his vision to action and created a company focused on teaching corporate Christian professionals the source of true motivation. Sean Sommerkamp, welcome to the Career Callings Radio Show, sir. How are you today?
This is the best day of my life, Robbie. Thanks for having me.
Now, I think I know why you said that, but tell me why you said that.
Well, we don't have tomorrow, and yesterday's gone, and Jesus always said, you know, focus on today, and today has enough trouble of its own, so we really do have an opportunity to make today the best, and this is the best day we have.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that. Well, glad to have you on the program today. And during my biography of you, I focused more so on your professional life. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your family real quick.
Well, I've been married for 16, 17 years. And one of the probably most interesting notes about that is I met my wife online. We must have been one of the very first people who did any online dating. And I fell in love with the her profile because it said, I love Jesus and believe real men do too. And it just so deeply inspired me. I was brand new to this quote unquote Christian online dating thing. So I got to reach out to her, introduce myself, and believe it or not, within 4 months we were married. And again, this was 17 years ago. The rest is history. And we get a chance to work together from home. And it's been really exciting.
That's awesome. Now, which website did you find each other on? Was it the proverbial eHarmony, or was it something else?
This was way before eHarmony. This is a site called datingfaces.com, which doesn't exist anymore. But they had a lot of success early on. We didn't really follow them much after that. But we just knew it was God bringing us together. Everything aligned so perfectly. It was just such a blessing.
Well, I'm very, very happy to hear that you did not follow that dating service after you guys got married. It probably would have been a little bit weird had you had done that after you got married. A little bit weird.
We posted that we had been the successful couple, and they liked to get people to continue to follow how successful they were. But we left it. It was cool.
Nice, nice, nice. Very good, very good. Well, I want to kind of launch into the discussion of how the Lord has led you throughout your career. So tell us a little bit right now about what you're doing right now vocationally to feed your family, and then kind of tell us the steps that God led you through to get you where you are today.
Well, as you mentioned, Motivationeer Christian Coaching, the Christian coaching business that I founded 5 years ago as a Christian executive coach, and that's what I do full time, which is an incredible blessing. But it happened because way back when I gave my life to Christ in 1991, I was convinced I was supposed to be in the full-time ministry. And that's because God used me to bring a lot of people to Him in just a few years of me giving my life to Him myself. And I love studying the Bible with people, teaching the Bible to others, But when I pursued full-time church ministry, God kept closing those doors. And it confused me. I was probably a little angry, at the very least frustrated. But he sent me instead into corporate America. So I decided to give that my all and worked very hard. And because God's hand was guiding me, I was very successful in my career, which you mentioned a little bit about in my biography. But it wasn't until my fourth or fifth year inside my role at General Electric, where they sent me to a private leadership institute campus in Lake Ossipee, New York, where I met for the very first time ever in my own executive coach. I had no idea what executive coaching even was, but it was in that moment I realized, wow, this is God's plan for my life. I'm going to use my leadership experience in the marketplace, my passion of teaching people God's word, and now this idea of helping coach people, which is a new way of discipleship. That's how I see it. And I became a Christian executive coach. And it has been just nothing short of amazing and miraculous and inspiring for me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And in just a little while, I'm going to ask you a little bit about how God's using your current vocation to impact other people for Christ. So at that point, we'll get to talk about some of the meat and potatoes of how you're doing that. But right now, before we get there, let me ask you this question. As you've gone through that journey and worked at GE and then the other Fortune 500 companies that we mentioned earlier, what would you consider to have been your biggest career failure, or if you don't like the word failure, your biggest career challenge, and what did you learn from that?
So I know this is going to sound maybe a little coy, but I don't personally believe that there's such a thing even as challenges or problems. I really do see them as opportunities. Now, of course, I didn't always see it like that, but for the last 10 years or so, I see anything that comes my way as an opportunity. And that's because, you know, either you win or you learn, right? It's not a loss if we can learn something from it. But the greatest lesson I've learned in my career, and one I coach other executives to practice, is hidden in the concept of Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I believe the passage is telling us not to trust our emotions. So back many years back when I was working for, before GE, when I was working for Manpower, I got really emotional about some decisions that were made about me from my manager, and overreacting emotionally, it really stunted my career growth opportunity. So I've learned since then, if it wasn't just a one-time thing, just getting emotional about my career or decisions that I'm making really is not the best thing to do.
So what enabled you to make that switch mentally from that trouble to seeing everything as an opportunity? What made that switch possible?
That's a great question, because it is a mental switch. And it was probably maybe what we see in the Old Testament from all the lessons that the Israelites learned. God really humbled me. You know, me getting emotional and maybe a little insubordinate with my boss for not supporting something, a direction I was going, I got humbled. You know, I was taken out of a certain role that I was in that I loved and thought I should continue to be in. And the light kind of dawned. Hey, I can't be a leader if I'm letting my emotions rule me. From that point forward, because I learned that lesson the hard way, I fought and strived and kind of grew in seeing things from a perspective that I would call now, and I teach my clients to learn, is detached involvement. I don't attach my feelings or emotions to the outcome of whatever I'm involved in. But it was a wake-up call that kind of snapped me out of it, and I think that's how God does it. He disciplines us, you know, and I was disciplined for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, I do have to say that of all the guests I've had on the show, I've had many tell me they don't believe in failure. But you are the first one, my friend, who's ever said, I don't believe in challenges. I must say that. That's pretty good. And I like the way that you framed it, that, you know, it really is, you just have to start seeing everything as an opportunity to learn and not something to tear you down or weigh you down. And that is a tough mental switch for a lot of us, including myself, to make. So I appreciate the challenge there. The opportunity there. Can't use the word challenge anymore, right?
Most people don't catch themselves that quick after hearing it. Nice job.
Yeah, there you go. So the opportunity to make the mental switch there. So great. Let's talk about the other side of that coin real quick. What would you say, Sean, has been your biggest career success? And what do you think made it so successful?
Another great question. In fact, this just came up between me and another client who accepted a position in a chief scientist role, but was hoping for something with a little bit higher title, larger title, more prestigious title. I believe my greatest career success has been kind of managing it from a continuing to advance perspective. So each time I changed roles throughout my career, I would try to better my position, not for prestige or fame or glory, my own self, but so that I could have a greater impact for God. And I do know this, when you have a higher position of authority in a company, maybe it's a worldly thing, I don't know, but more people are willing to listen to you. So I believe the biggest success in my career has been able to kind of continue to build from positions of advancing authority. And I know that that's because God allowed me to find favor in people's eyes. This is certainly not because of my greatness. It's because he allowed it. But I set my intention on continually advancing my career, not taking a step back, not taking a lesser position. And boy, God has really allowed that to be very successful. And of course, right up until the time I could step out of corporate America and start my own business as an executive coach.
I tell you, that is such a strong motivation to become excellent at whatever we do, because like you just said, Sean, the more excellent we become, the more advancement we can have in the worldly system, which gives us a better platform for influencing people for God's system, for God's glory. And when the Bible teaches us about doing everything for God's glory, I mean, that's how we do it, is be excellent so that we can impact other people, so that we can bring God's glory to them and say his saving grace to them. So that's good. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Go ahead.
No, I'm so sorry for interrupting. We see evidences of this in the beginning of the first church in the book of Acts, where it says many prominent people were brought to the Lord, people even in Caesar's household. And of course, we don't need prestige for the church to grow, to get the word out. By no means. Jesus went to those that were out in the wilderness. But today, in our economy, to have a platform of per se authority, people will listen more. From that point forward, how we live is how they're going to listen the most, of course.
Yeah, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. Matter of fact, that's so good, I think we'll wrap up segment number one of today's edition of Career Callings with that awesome thought. Come back in a few for segment number two. Not long ago, I had a coffee with a young man who I'll call Larry, and Larry was having a tough time in his life because of some financial and emotional woes that had cropped up in his life and was hurting his family. And these financial and emotional woes that had kind of cropped up had cropped up because of a bad career choice. He had chosen a career for the wrong reasons. It was a career mismatch. And as a result of the stress that came from that, his family was suffering emotionally and financially. Hey, don't let that happen to you. Go ahead and do something about it by taking the Career Direct Assessment. The Career Direct Assessment was created by the late Larry Burkett for the very purpose of helping Christians biblically understand and discern how to find a career that matches up with the design God created them with. And just listen for a second, if you will, from a happy, satisfied client of Career Callings named Denise. Denise took Larry Burkett's Career Direct Assessment, and as she says in her testimonial, quote, "Once I completed the assessment, Robbie conducted a video call consultation with me to review my results, and he's easy to talk to, and his passion for helping people find their career direction comes through in his compassionate communication style. After asking several questions, he explained everything well and helped highlight certain insights that were key to my future. More importantly, God and his glory came shining through the session. While Robbie was asking insightful questions during the session, I experienced a significant moment of confirmation and revelation for my life. I could see a glimpse of the bigger picture God had been working in my life over the last few years, and suddenly several events made sense and prayers were answered while inspiring an enthusiasm to move toward my confirmed career calling. Praise God for the work Robbie is doing for and through Christ, and my sincere thanks for helping direct me on to my kingdom work. Thanks, Denise, for your great testimonial. And hey, the Career Direct Assessment has greatly influenced my life, and that's why I want to be able to share it with other people and help people avoid the financial and emotional pain that career mismatches bring. If you'd like to investigate whether or not the Career Direct Assessment is good for you, someone maybe who's already in the workplace looking for an answer to the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Or maybe you have a loved one, like a child going off to college, that you want to give them some direction on the front end of the career search. Wherever you are in life, at whatever age you're at, the Career Direct Assessment can absolutely help you. I've counseled with teenagers up to 70-year-olds, and the Career Direct Assessment can help them all. If you'd like to learn more about the Career Direct Assessment, go to careercallings.net/discover. That's careercallings.net/discover, and learn more about it and see if it'll benefit you.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Looking for a reason to roam and do the night to find my place in this world. My place in this world.
Welcome back from the break to segment number two of today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Welcome back from the break to segment number two of today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Now let's get back to our interview with Sean Sommerkamp. Sean, let's just talk about this real quick. Was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you follow? And if so, how did he clear the smoke for you?
Yeah, I think this goes back to when I first thought I was supposed to be in the full-time ministry. And this is back in 1991. I was in my early 20s. I didn't understand it. And as I mentioned before, I really wrestled with getting discouraged or disappointed. And at some point, shortly after, I realized, hey, the full-time ministry, at least working for the church, wasn't going to work out. I shifted my perspective to realize, hey, my career workplace, that is my mission field. So I gave whatever God put in front of me with, you know, all of my heart. I didn't sketch out precisely where my career progression would go. But as each opportunity arose, I said, okay, like God maybe told to Gideon and Judges, go in the strength you have. So when I started that first job out of the Navy as an IT recruiter working for Manpower, I put all of my strength in it. I didn't know where he was going to lead me, but man, he opened up really cool, exciting doors. I won't go into some of those stories, but they were really exciting. And then I ended up in Milwaukee as a national account manager. And then he opened up an opportunity for me to go into Johnson Controls about the time I met my wife. And then he opened up the opportunity for me to go to GE. I think the key here is to keep trusting that God is, like it says in Acts 17, placing us where he wants us to be so that we can reach out to others. That's really how it unfolded for me all along the way. My great quote-unquote aha moment was when I met that executive coach at the GE Leadership Institute in Lake Ossipee. Wow, everything kind of just focused like a super sharp, very clear image. I'm supposed to be a Christian executive coach. Up until that point, was I confused? No. I didn't know each phase along the way where God wanted me to go, but he did make it really clear And here I am today.
You know, when you were talking about that, it made me think of an analogy I've heard over, or maybe a metaphor is the better word, that I've heard some versions of over the years. And basically, you know, it kind of goes like floating down a river. The best thing you can do is to go with the flow, as opposed to turn around and trying to swim upstream. And
right.
So
on.
And when you said that you got to the point where you're just going to let God direct your path, you know, that doesn't mean we can't ask the Lord for direction. That doesn't mean we can't, you know, have some plans of our own. But ultimately, we need to understand that man devises his way, but God directs his steps. And we need to get to a point of submission where we just let God flow the river, and we just go along for the ride, and not lackadaisically, not lazily, but just with faith that eventually he's going to put us, well, right now where we are today is exactly where he wants us. And if there's something else he wants us to do next, he'll show us at the right time what to do. I mean, does that sound about like what you came to conclude?
That's a great way to say it. In fact, you just quoted a passage that I've loved and used, you know, all of my life. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose prevails. I found another one the other day. It's, of course, always been there, but it jumped off the page at me to illustrate what you're saying even further. Proverbs 16:33, it says, though the lot is cast into the lap, its every decision is from the Lord. We know, you know, casting lots is like throwing dice. Even the outcome of the roll of the dice is part of God's plan. And if we just kind of surrender that to that, we can enjoy the ride like a roller coaster ride. I want to be the one to pump my fist into the air instead of clenching onto that bar, white knuckling it. And you said it very well. So, yes.
I tell you what, you brought up another story in my mind when you talked about the roller coaster. Years ago, my daughter, my oldest daughter and I went to, all my kids and I and my wife went to a park near where we live called Carowinds. It's kind of like Six Flags in Atlanta. Anyway, it's a theme park. It's an amusement park. And we were riding a big roller coaster that has like a 200-foot drop is the first big drop. And I'm sitting there holding on for dear life as we're hitting that drop, because I'm scared to death. I look over at my daughter, who's now 19, and she's got her hands up in the air, just enjoying the ride and just laughing like crazy. And I kind of thought to myself, you know, later on that day, wow, that's like our spiritual walk a lot of times. My daughter was just trusting in that bar that was sitting across our lap to hold us in place, and she was going to enjoy the ride. I didn't trust the bar, so I had to hold on in my own strength to make sure I wasn't going to fly out. That's kind of like, you know, back to what we were saying, whether or not we trust God. You know, God is that bar, and if we just trust him to hold us in place, we can enjoy the ride. And if we don't trust him, what we're going to do is try to do it in our own strength and be miserable while we're along the way. Because I can tell you, my arms were sore by the time we got done with that ride. It would have been a lot better just doing what she did.
And consider this, because she enjoyed it so much, get to reflect all these years later on her experience. So when we are enjoying that ride, other people are watching us enjoy it. We impact them. That's even the greater joy of it is not just, hey, we get to enjoy it ourselves, but man, when we're joyful about this journey, even if it's uncertain, it makes an impact on others, just like your daughter all those years ago did on you.
That's right. That's good. Speaking of impact, how are you currently using your career to impact others for Christ?
Well, this is perhaps the greatest blessing of all. Because I chose to go away from corporate America, although I was there for 25 years, into a Christian executive coaching company of my own that I started, I get to every day, like we're doing right now, use my career to help others succeed in theirs. My, kind of the mantra I choose with my clients, the thing I share with them the most is, I'm going to help you have a predictable, repeatable, profitable career, and I'll help kind of remove your blockers. And I don't do that just by using coaching techniques. I do it using God's word, because everything we have today, all these powerful truths that we have to shift people, their mindset, and help them be successful, have always been in the scriptures. They're ancient truths from God's word. And I like to think that my full-time job now is 100% ministry. So when I do have a client that I'm speaking to, or I'm doing my free workshops with local churches, I see the impact by just getting God's word aligned with their career path. That is really my the great blessing I have today. Now, of course, I can improve on it, and I strive to improve all the time. But to be doing that every day as my full-time job, man, that's a blessing that can only come from God, you know.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Have you ever been faced with a challenge to your faith in the workplace? And if so, tell us about it and how you reacted to it.
Yeah, you know, probably the one that stands out to me the most, although as Christians, Jesus told us we were going to face trouble in this world. We'll be persecuted if we live life for Christ. One of the greatest challenges, I'd say, wasn't even really a challenge, it was an opportunity, was for me to stand firm in the faith in a role where I discovered eventually, even though I was a senior leader in that company, two other senior leaders had misgivings about a Christian working on the team with them. And I didn't find that out until we were at a leadership retreat. We had gone out to dinner, and these two had started drinking, and they let it slip that they had issues with the Christian being on the team because they were convinced I would try to quote unquote convert them, or, you know, Bible thump, whatever they said. I don't really know what it was. The interesting thing and why it was an opportunity for me to stand firm in faith is up until that point, I couldn't figure out why they were giving me such a hard time. I mean, they opposed me at every turn. In meetings, even with my own employees, they would call them up and kind of badger them about things, though I barely knew them. So once I understood at the dinner, which I think God kind of allowed this to happen, that it was because of my faith in Christ, it all made sense, and I was able to kind of just let go of that confusion. I decided not to take anything up with HR. I knew it was more of a spiritual battle in the spiritual realms than it was me and them. It was more, of course, Satan. And it encouraged and emboldened me.
So what did you do after that? What happened after that?
Well, because they said, hey, it's great to know that you're not kind of beating me over the head with the Bible, I realized, hey, this is a spiritual battle. This isn't me being successful or me gaining their trust. It is all about Christ. So I deliberately decided to share my faith more with my employees. And I don't mean, hey, will you come to Christ? I mean sharing scripture, because I think it was a warning. Hey, they were happy that I wasn't quote-unquote Bible thumping. Man, that convicted me. So I decided to start working into my weekly meetings with my staff and others. Hey, you know, there's an ancient truth about that in God's word, believe it or not, that addresses this very thing. Let me share it with you. And two of those employees came to me afterward, after I started doing this, and said, I really love that you're doing this every day with us now, where before you didn't. So I took this, I don't know how to say it, persecution maybe. I don't want to go too far with that word, but I took this mild persecution from these two employees to be a signal from God, hey, it's time to, you know, really up my ante sharing my faith with my employees. And man, it made all the difference.
Awesome. Awesome. What would you say is your number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
It would have to be that I figured out my power hours. That's the times of the day where I am most creative, where I can create that great content that my clients and listeners and leaders want. But until I mapped out that max efficiency schedule, I'm using air quotes that you can't see, I was struggling, you know. But for me, my most effective and creative times are early in the morning. I go to bed early and I wake up early. And this has made a huge difference. And now, because I learned this years ago, I teach it, coach it with all of my clients. And sometimes their power hours are mid-afternoon. Sometimes their power hours are, you know, late at night even, or early evening. So it's not necessarily go to bed early and wake up early. It's go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time, and map out when your own productive power time is, and then stick with it. Be consistent with that. It will change. I mean, I say this even for you. It will change everything about the way that you approach your business or your career success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. Totally so. Just in case it's different, do you have a number one business habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
Yes, it is different. And that number one idea is a perspective. It's a belief that I have that I've seen come true. And it's very real for me. When I have an idea, or I remember something that I want to do specifically, I write it down. like, you know, great one-liners, future products, book ideas, whatever, provocative content, even great past stories, I do not trust my own memory. So my habit is to get something out and immediately jot it down what I have, this idea that I have, instead of trusting that short-term or long-term memory. Memory is a very faulty thing to rely on. It doesn't work well. So if I have an idea and I'm like, wow, the temptation is I'll write it down later, or I'm sure it'll come back to me. Nope. I consistently now stop what I'm doing, whatever it is, and write it down.
Yeah. Do you write it down on good old fashioned paper, or do you have like an electronic tool of some kind where you store all of your notes?
It's an electronic tool. I do consider this maybe the most used tool that I have out of everything other than a cell phone. It's the most used app. It's called Todoist. It's like to-do list, but without the L. And I can group my ideas into projects. And this has become what I really refer to now as my short-term memory. And this tool, because it's an app, it's on my iPhone, it's on my iPad, it's on my computer, and it's always available. So if I'm at church, let's say, and someone walks up to me and said, hey, can we meet at blah, 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 instead of interrupting their time and opening my calendar and, you know, scheduling something in my calendar, I just pop open Todoist, schedule time with Robbie, and that's it. And the next morning, and this is the other habit I get into, I look at that short-term memory tool and kind of set up my next activities. It's very, very powerful for being organized and not letting any of those great ideas slip away.
Yeah, I use a similar tool called Workflowy. You ever heard of Workflowy before?
No, but I'm going to look it up now. I love to hear about new tools. Is it just like it sounds?
Yeah. Basically, it's a big electronic to-do list is what it is. And you can, organize things very, very efficiently and, you know, subtitles as we, or I shouldn't say subtitles, like bullet lists, all kinds of bullet lists. And you can collapse and expand the bullet lists very, very simply. And one of the things is if you're working on one project, let's say you've got one project that you want to stay focused on and not be distracted by anything else on your to-do list, you just double click that project and then all you see on your screen is the to-dos that are tied to just that project. Everything else melts away. And then you have to go back to a home screen or whatever to get to your master list. So you can have a big master list and a bunch of little tiny lists that you can focus on one at a time in order to kind of keep focused. And so I've been using Evernote forever, but when I found Workflowy, I started using that more so than Evernote as a way to store information and better organize my workflow. So and I heard about Todoist as well, but I'd already gotten kind of entrenched with Workflowy, so I've kind of stayed with that. But I've heard Todoist is fantastic, as you just attested to. So,
yeah, I'm gonna look into it. I'm gonna try out Workflowy and see how it works. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that actually pretty much answered my next question, which is, do you have a productivity tool that you like to use? But just to make sure I don't, clamp down. Without asking that question, because there may be another productivity tool that comes to mind. Do you have something else that you'd want to share, or would Todoist be the one that you would have shared?
Yeah, Todoist is. I'll just add one little nuance to it. When I open it up in the morning and look at all the things I've written down from the day before, I always try to choose from that list to be most productive revenue-producing activities. Now, that's for me as a business owner. It might be different for a regional director or a CEO or, a line manager or something, but understanding, hey, just writing the Todoist list is great, but now it's time to be productive to use it by choosing revenue producing activities. That's kind of the key to it for me.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be. So what three things would you tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful?
I love this question, and I do get asked it a lot as a coach. And I would say the very first thing you want to do, the most important thing, is to figure out your own best client acquisition strategy. And this is not a business model. I'm not saying figure out your business model. Figure out how you exactly, precisely attract and obtain new clients. If it's just word of mouth, let's say, that's not a client acquisition strategy, because there's ways to create a word of mouth campaign. So understand your client acquisition strategy is key. The second one is then nurture those clients by giving them tons and tons of value. So many business owners want to charge and nickel and dime clients, or they use a freemium model just to quickly charge them. I believe in what God says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Give away tons of value for free. And this will create that nurturing effect. And then the third one, I've mentioned it before, maybe one of the most important is detached involvement. Work on your plan without getting hung up on the outcome. Just work the plan. God is going to grant the increase. We get to trust him with that. Don't get too involved with how one thing that you do is turning out. Just keep working your client acquisition strategy, providing tons of value, which is content creation, and then God will take care of the rest.
That's fantastic advice. Fantastic. Now, if you could recommend just one book other than the Bible, because we know that the Bible is the number one book all of us should be consuming daily, but outside the Bible, what would be one book you would recommend for our listeners and why?
First of all, thank you for saying The Daily Peace. I know so many believers that read the Bible but don't have that daily habit. I love that you just emphasized that. So the book that I would recommend, maybe you've never ever been recommended this book, but it's called The Toyota Way. It's by a guy named Jeffrey Liker, and it's based on Taichi Ono's Toyota production system. We know it today as Lean. Some people think it's Lean Six Sigma. Six Sigma is not part of Lean. Six Sigma is an add-on from Motorola that GE picked up and others. But the true Lean way is found in this book, and it will change you and your readers how they think about business processes. It's the ultimate guide to thinking efficiently, and I love it and recommend it. To every client I've ever had, I recommend it, and I'm glad you asked. The Toyota Way by Jeffrey Liker.
That's great. That's great. And let me just reciprocate. Have you read a book called The 12-Week Year by any chance?
I have not, but I love to get book recommendations, so I will write that down in my to-do list.
Yeah, well, the reason why I wanted to bring that up, good man. That's right. I'm giving you an opportunity, sir, an opportunity to become even more productive than you already are. Okay. But the reason I wanted to bring that up, when you talked about in the previous question, when you talked about your three tips for new business owners, you mentioned productivity and planning, and I'm about two-thirds of the way through right now my audiobook version of The 12-Week Year, and it's a great system. And saying is that you don't plan in terms of yearly goals. You plan in terms of 12-week goals, and you don't have a 52-week year anymore. You got a 12-week year. And so the whole idea is that if you have a nearer term deadline, it will motivate you to act with more urgency. Too many times when we have a one-year goal, it's not as urgent because 1 year seems like it's so far away. But if you got 12-week goals and the steps to actually achieving those goals, you're going to be act with more urgency and getting a lot more things done. So
that's brilliant. I love it.
It's great. I've learned over the years how much of a deadline-driven person I am, and I always thought I was lacking in that character trait because I was like that and so many other people didn't appear to be. But reading books, listening to books like 12-Week Year, I've understood that, that's most people. Most people are deadline-driven. Maybe some aren't, but most people are. So this is a great way to train yourself. Like you trained yourself to think in terms of opportunities, this trains you to think in terms of near-term deadlines. If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, Sean, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go into the real world?
It's a quote. I'll share a quote. And it has profound implications for a young person getting started with their career. Never sacrifice long-term growth for short-term gain. If your listeners, if you do have some high school listeners by chance, or it's intentional, this insight from this little quote will have profound implications on the choices they make, because America makes it so easy to go for the short-term gain, the short-term play. One example, God forbid any Christian would ever do this, but online dating sites, people put up false information about themselves. Why? So they can get that quote-unquote date. So they get the short-term gain of the date, but when they meet the person's like, wait a minute, you're nothing like you are online, and they've sacrificed a long-term growth opportunity for a lasting relationship. This is one of a thousand examples of how to always go for the long-term growth play instead of the short-term gain.
That's great advice. Very, very great advice. Well, Sean, I've been blessed by our conversation, and I know a lot of other people have been as well. So if people want to reach out to you with follow-up questions or whatever, what's the best way that they can connect with you?
I always ask my listeners to text the word EAGER, E-A-G-E-R, and that's all caps, capital E-A-G-E-R, to the number 44144. Let me say that again. Capital E-A-G-E-R, all caps, text that to 44144, and you'll be able to reach out to me.
That has got to be the most unique way any of my guests have ever shared on how people can get in touch with them.
I try to be efficient. I keep it really simple, and most people travel with their cell phones. So, hey, man, a quick text. A lot of people text. It works very well.
Yes, it does. That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, Sean Sommerkamp, thanks so much for being a guest on today's edition of Career Callings. You have a blessed day, sir.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a joy talking with you today. Thank you.
And that's a wrap on today's edition of Career Callings. And if you've been blessed by my conversation with Sean Sommerkamp, as I have been, please go over to careercallings.net and get your copy of today's broadcast. And you can download it in podcast version and just enjoy it time and time again for yourself and share it with others as well. Remember, that's careercallings.net. And also remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.